I'm John, he's Patrick. Together we're the functional nerds. I'm John, he's Patrick. Together we're the functional nerds. Together we're the functional nerds.
My name is Patrick Hester, his name is John Anilio, and you're listening to episode number 174 of the Functional Nerd Podcast. And John, if your neighbor puts up their Christmas decorations the day after Thanksgiving, making you look bad to everybody else, does that make them a douche?
Yes. I'm going to go ahead and say yes. Yeah, that's right. They shouldn't shame you in that way, Patrick. But that is Patrick Hester. He's an author, a blogger, and a podcast dude. You can check out his website, atfmb.com. You can follow him on Twitter, at atfmb. My name is John Anilio. I am a singer, songwriter, and a composer. You can check out my music over at johnanilio.com. You can follow me on Twitter, at John Anilio. And today, we are delighted to be joined by Freya Robertson, all the way from New Zealand. We're doing a little bit of a time machine thing because she's a day ahead of us.
I live in the future. That's right.
She lives in the future. Yes,
all the best movies are filmed there.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Freya is a lifelong fan of science fiction and fantasy, as well as a dedicated gamer. She has a deep and abiding fascination for the history and archaeology of the Middle Ages and spent many hours as a teenager writing out note cards detailing the battles of the War of the Roses or moping around museums looking at ancient skeletons, bits of rusted iron, and broken pots. Freya lives, as we mentioned, in New Zealand, where the countryside was made to inspire fantasy writers and filmmakers and where they brew the best coffee in the world. I don't know about that. You can check out her website, freyarobertson.com, and she is on Twitter and Facebook as well. On Twitter, I know she is Epic Freya, at Epic Freya, because I follow Epic Freya on Twitter. And her book, Heartwood, is out right now and through Angry Robot Books. So go and check that out. And Freya, thank you for joining us today.
Oh, you're very welcome.
I'm really excited to have you on. I always love getting people from Patrick and I are trying to, get as many people from as many parts of the world as possible. And I don't know if have we ever had anybody from New Zealand on the show before, Patrick? I don't think we have.
Helen Lowe, or was that on SF Signal?
That was on SF Signal, okay. I think, because I don't think we had Helen on our podcast.
I know that we try to get people from other parts of the world on, but somehow we always manage to get folks who are in New Jersey, so I don't.
I know, it's a horrible place, that New Jersey. we are really excited to have you on the show today. And one of the reasons I wanted to get you on, because I know you do some podcasting yourself. But before we get into any of that, why don't you tell us a little bit about Heartwood and book two that's coming out through Angry Robot Books? Because our listeners are
Angry Robot.
Yes, we are all familiar with the signs. Freya.
I finally did it. I threw him off.
You know what? Patrick threw me off today. I'll tell you why. To our fair listeners, we normally do the Google Hangout where Patrick and I can see each other, and we're doing Skype today because we couldn't get the Google Hangout working with Freya. So we decided to use Skype, which is working just fine. But we don't have video for today. So now that I'm not seeing anybody, I'm sort of juggling and looking at web pages right now for Freya, and I'm like, wait, who am I talking to now? So I'm totally discombobulated, and Patrick took advantage of it. So, but why don't you tell us a little bit about the book that is out right now, Freya, because our listeners are our readers, and they love science fiction and fantasy books. So why don't you tell them a little bit about yours?
Yeah, sure. No worries at all. Heartwood is like in a lot of ways, a traditional epic fantasy. So you've got the huge journeys across vast lands and quests and all the things you've come to expect from that genre. Plus, I wanted to give it a modern twist. So there are some differences. There's no elves or orcs or dwarves. Instead, there's an elemental theme to it. So the big bads in this are dark water lords that come up from the ocean and come out and attack the land. Also, there's more of a gender balance. So the women play a big role in the book. They can be knights, and they're as strong and important as the guys. And it's the second one comes out next year, and it takes the story forward quite a way. It's quite a different book in many senses, but it's all in the same world. And then so all good.
Oh, excellent. Now, with this is published through Angry Robot, as we mentioned. Now, if I believe I came across this on your blog. Now, was this during one of their open submission calls that your book got to them?
It was, yeah. I sort of snuck in the back door, really. I saw the submission call, and I'd written the book actually a few years ago, and it had sat in my bottom drawer for a while. I'd sort of halted around agents and a couple of publishers and not had a lot of luck, and sort of thought, oh well, I'll move on to something else. And my husband kept saying to me, you've got to push that, that's worth pushing, you know. And then I saw the call and I thought, oh, I'll give it a go, because I'm a bit of a competition freak, so I was always entering competitions, and thought I'll just give it a go, and sent it off and sort of forgot about it, and but yeah, then got the email, so that was pretty cool.
That's you know, they found a lot of good books that way. I know not every publisher does that because they're afraid of getting inundated, but it seemed to work for Angry Robot. They've made a lot of nice discoveries that way, so it's obviously working for them. So well, congratulations for that, and happy to hear that book two is coming. Now, is this going to be multiple book series, or what's your plans for the series?
Yeah, I'd like to write more. We'll wait and see how the sales go and stuff. And I'm going to work on another series at the moment, more of a sort of steampunk sci-fi series. And then I'll come back to the third one as and when the first two sell.
Excellent. That sounds great. So best of luck with that. And I thought right now we can move on to What do you want, Patrick? Yes. What are you going to say?
So Freya, in your photograph, do I see the World of Warcraft board game?
Absolutely.
They're not even selling that anymore, are they?
I don't know where we got it from, actually. But yeah, we've had it a few years now.
Yeah, it's on eBay for like $219. So I don't
think it's really good.
I don't think they sell it anymore. So I was really impressed to see that back there on the pile of books or the games.
Yes, if you go to Freya's website, which is freyarobertson.com, and you go to her, about page, you will see a nice picture of her where there's a wall of games that is coming down on top of her, including the World of Warcraft game that Patrick just mentioned. so very, very cool. Very cool. So let's get on to our picks of the week.
Picks of the week.
And Freya, why don't you go first? Why don't you tell us about your pick of the week?
Okay, well, one thing I thought I'd mention, if there's any writers out there listening, because I know a lot of people who listen to the show are writers themselves. One app that I really like is called Infonote. And I know a lot of writers really like Post-its. We're all keen on sticking Post-its all over the place. And this is, I've got this app on my iPad, and it's really cool because it's like Post-its for the iPad. And you can just write them and stick them all over the like cork board of your iPad. And that's really cool for jotting down notes and names and things that you don't want to forget. So that's really cool.
That is awesome.
Yeah, no, it's really good. And as I say, look, we often have a thing for stationery, don't we, us writers? So it's stationery for the modern nerd.
Are you familiar with Alton Brown?
No.
So Alton Brown is the nerd of the Food Network.
Okay.
And I don't know if you have Food Network in New Zealand.
I'm not sure.
So he did a show years ago called Good Eats, and it's easily my favorite show on the Food Network because he's a nerd, and he approaches all this stuff from a sciencey, geeky kind of thing. Like he explained why you can't add sugar to cold iced tea, because that's one of the things that we drink here in America is sweet tea. So you have unsweet tea and sweet tea, and he explained why. It doesn't work to just make unsweet tea, ice it, and then give it to people and say, well, you can add your sugar. He explained it as far as why the sugars doesn't break down, all that kind of stuff. Anyway, the reason I bring him up is he has a Twitter feed, but he doesn't like to actually use Twitter. So what he does, when people ask him questions, he has a stack of Post-it notes, and he writes the answers out, and he takes a picture of them with his phone, and he posts them.
That's a good idea.
And that's his Twitter feed. And it's hilarious and very, very clever and very unique. So the whole Post-it thing, if I'm not mistaken, a lot of the operating systems actually tried in the past to have Post-its or some sort of version of Post-its as part of their operating system. And they got away from it. So it's cool that you found an app that does that.
Yeah, I find it works quite well. You can create different boards. So I've got boards for like character names and, you know, passwords, because I have so many passwords for so many different sites and things like that. And you can just stick notes on them, and you can do notes in different colors and different fonts and symbols and all sorts of things. So, yeah, it's really cool.
Now, I don't know, how secure is that for passwords?
I have no idea.
See,
that's
why
I keep getting, broken into.
I use an app on my phone called MSecure. And it's specifically a password vault. And you have to put in a password to get into it, and then it lists all your passwords.
Oh, okay.
So that, I'm just throwing that out there. Sorry, John.
No, that's fine. That's fine. Well, you know, I'm gonna go with Freya on this, and I'm actually going to pick for my pick, I'm gonna pick an iPad app as well, and the name of my iPad app that I'm picking this week is called Rhyme Zone. There was a RhymeZone.com that I would use occasionally when you know, obviously listeners of the show know I'm a songwriter, and I use rhyming dictionaries when I'm putting songs together, and I have a couple of really good ones, and I couldn't find, I just moved somewhat recently, and I could not find my rhyming dictionary that I usually like to use. So I went over to Rhyme Zone, which I would use in the past, and Rhyme Zone, it's probably rhymezone.com, I'm not sure, would just, you know, you type in a word and it'll give you different rhymes for it. Not all of them are great, but it was good enough in a pinch when you're working on something. And when I went to rhymezone.com on my iPad, they were like, why don't you download the app? And so I was like, okay. And it was a $2.99 app. And I thought, like, you know, this is a good idea so for when I'm not, don't have an internet connection, but the app is way better than the actual website, as these kinds of things are, because the website itself was always kind of an app anyway. But you know, you type in your word, and so I don't know. Let's see. We'll type in name of Freya's book is Heartwood. So you know, you type in wood, and then it gives you one could, good, good, and it gives you two syllable rhymes, three syllable rhymes. But then you can also go to, instead of rhymes, you could do near rhymes. You can do, so you can basically get a lot of different stuff going on from it as you're working on a song. And I've used this with the last two or three songs that I've been working on. And it's working really nicely, because I find with the iPad, I use the iPad a lot differently than I've used a laptop when I'm writing songs. And I tend to handwrite on actual physical index cards as well while I'm writing. But I also notice I tend to write in Evernote these days too while I'm working on songs. That way it all link up to all my various devices. So I find having Evernote and Rhyme Zone right next to each other as I'm working on lyrics or something has been very effective and nice workflow for me. So if you're a songwriter, or if you write some poetry or whatever, you need to find rhymes, it's definitely worth the $3. So go check it out. It's called just Rhyme Zone, and you can find it in the App Store. So Patrick, what is your pick this week?
Well, I'm going to go, since Freya was using something that's kind of for authors and to kind of help them out, I'm going to also suggest something for authors. This is something I use. Now, people who have listened to the podcast, they're probably going to be surprised by this. It's not really out there that I use this little program called Scrivener. I doubt that they've ever heard me talk about it.
As she was mentioning her app, I was about to say, cue Patrick Scrivener plug in 3, 2.
But inside of Scrivener, if you go to the writing tools, they have a cool little thing called a name generator. And one of the things that I always have problems with, and I don't know if Freya is like this, I always have problems with names for characters. And when with the name generator, you can actually go in, you can say you want male, female, or either. You can pick, if you want it to attempt an alliteration, you can do that. If you want double barrel surnames, you can do that. If you want four names only, you can do that. If you want surnames, it's got all these options. And then you can do Catalan names, you can do four names, German names, Hindi names, Italian names, Japanese names. You go all the way down. It's even got like literary names. And you can tell it just to generate names for you.
That'd be quite cool for gaming, actually.
It is, yes. So, for example, I did male, and I just picked, I picked Japanese names for men, and I picked potential dictionary surnames, and I started getting all these really cool names. I just told it to give me 50. You can do as many as 500, and you can make them as complicated as you want, but like Hiromi Glade, Madoka Clement, Akiro Languste, because it's picking weird names to go together. Taco, Cockeye. So, it'll generate a bunch of names for you to kind of get the juices flowing. And I think that's really cool, and that's inside of Scrivener.
Cool. Now, with Scrivener nowadays, because I've actually been sort of playing around the idea of doing some world building just for fun. So the name generator is actually within the regular Scrivener app?
Yes.
And, not an app, but it's a... I guess an app.
Yeah,
but,
on the Mac version, you go to Edit, Writing Tools, Name Generator.
Okay, cool. Now, do you buy this from the website, or do you, like, for Scrivener? Because I had a version of Scrivener on my old computer, but I never actually, like, I just used, like, the trial version. I never actually went ahead and bought it. Do you buy it from the App Store now? Is it there?
I don't think they have the iOS version ready yet.
Well, I'm talking about even the App Store on the Mac, on the actual laptop.
Maybe.
Okay.
If not,
I'll have to check it later. Yeah.
Yeah. If not, you just go to literatureandlatte.com/scrivener and you can buy it there.
Cool. That is very good, because I may, just for that alone, just because I am sort of farting around with just doing some world building for fun, I imagine having a name generator like that for character names would be a very useful tool. Like you said, just to kind of get the juices flowing, because sometimes you're starting with nothing. So it's nice.
And not only that, and we talked about this before, but you've got things like character sheets, you've got place sheets, you've got all this stuff that you can just fill in the blanks, you know, and it asks you questions. So, you know, like, what's your character's name? What's their motivation? Where are they from? What do they look like? Who are their friends, you know, character sheet kind of stuff. It's almost like building a D&D profile.
That is really cool. Well, I will have to go and check that out. It might be worth me to – how much is Scrivener going for these days anyway?
I don't know.
Yeah.
About 50 bucks.
I'm going to say 50 bucks, yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, I will have to look into that this weekend then. Very cool. Well, we were talking a little bit about gaming, and we were for Freya, you know, she had mentioned some things with gaming. So I thought we would talk, you know, as our main topic, we could talk about Freya's interest in gaming and maybe even how that affected her actual writing of her novel. So,
well, and before you do that, I want to know, just give a plug real quick about your podcast.
Oh, yeah, do that too. Yeah.
Yeah, we've just started we've restarted. We're in a group called the Fantasards, and that's a combination of Fantasy and Grognard, which is like an old historian, a veteran historian. And a little while ago, we did some – this is a few years ago – we did some podcasts on all sorts of things, from gaming to history, and we stopped for a little while, for a year or two, and we've started again. And we're starting with world building, which is what you mentioned. Because we come at it through from three different angles. So I'm obviously from the writing side, and my husband's a DM, does a lot of D&D, and our friend is a game designer. So we're sort of coming at it from those three angles, and we're starting, we've done three so far, the third one's going to go up today probably, and we're talking about building your world, so where to start, you know, drawing up your map and naming your worlds and flora and fauna and character creation and all that sort of thing. So, and then we're going to look at magic and technology and just sort of all the things that, you know, if you want to build your own world in role-playing, or if you're a fantasy writer or anything like that, that you might find useful.
Have you ever played a game where the DM or the GM cheated?
I'm sure he does all the time, but he just doesn't tell us.
Exactly. Not that I've ever done that.
Of course not.
Now, how did you get – I know we're sort of switching gears a little bit, you know, because we were going to talk a little bit about podcasting and a little bit about gaming. So what made you decide to do the podcast in the first place? Like, what made you interested in using that as a format to communicate with people?
Well, I know the third guy, the game designer, Mark, he listens to a lot of different podcasts, including yours, I think. And he really is interested in that area, if you like. And it was just a way to, come together, and because we talk about gaming all the time, and fantasy and books and, you know, TV shows, and it was just a way to, it's just really us sitting there chatting and having a conversation. And it was just, we just thought, other people might be interested, because we talk about interesting stuff. So, yeah.
Now, when you guys record your podcast, do you do it all in the same room, or do you do it over Skype like we're doing now?
No, we do it in the same room, because we only live half an hour away, so we get together and do it on a Mac.
Show off.
Yeah, that's That's nice. I wish we could do that. I mean, we do what we, you know, we do what we have to, but I do, when I see some of these podcasts where they're all in the same studio, I'm like, oh, that must be so nice to be able to do it that way. It's so much easier. But so Frey, with the World Building Podcast, is that a sort of a subsection of your main podcast, or are you doing a separate podcast now?
It's the whole podcast, really. We're sort of starting again. So it's we're doing like a short series, just as long as we can talk for, really. It'll probably be, I don't know, 6, 7, 8 episodes, and then we'll move on to something else.
And is it really short episodes or long episodes? I mean, what's like the length of the podcast?
Oh, they're about an hour, so fairly long.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that's kind of a nice sweet spot if you get it in an hour or less. But I mean, I listen to ones that are an hour and a half, and you know, it really depends. I know some people that if your podcast is longer than 10 minutes, they're like, you're going too long. And I'm like, I don't, and I know some people have that. I guess Writing Excuses is a very short podcast.
15 minutes. Yes.
Yeah, that's always 15 minutes. And I know I've had feedback from people that have just always like, their podcast shouldn't be longer than 15 minutes. And I'm like, that's fine to do it for that. But I know for me, like, I like longer ones. I don't necessarily want just a 15-minute one. I want one that, I think the sweet spot is something that's going to last at least as long as people's commute. Because I think that's where a lot of people listen to podcasts these days is while they're commuting to work. So I think 15 minutes is kind of too short in some ways.
And now that I have John recorded as saying that, every time he complains that we're going too long, I'm going to replay his own words back at him.
That I don't like when, or that we
no, that you like longer podcasts.
Yeah, you're just gonna like, you know, when you hear me rushing at the end of a podcast to wrap things up, like, oh, we're wrapping things up, I like long podcasts, you're just gonna start throwing that back at me all the
So what else were we gonna talk to Freya about?
Well, you know, we mentioned the podcast, but you know, we're talking about gaming now. Were you always writing, Frey, or did some of the writing come from your gaming, or were they always intertwined?
No, the gaming's a fairly recent thing, actually, probably the last 5, 6, 7 years. I've been writing for, I don't know, I'll mumble under my breath here, sort of 20, 25 years, probably on and off. I actually wrote Heartwood before I got into gaming, but I think one reason I really enjoy the gaming is because, one reason is the representation of the genders, because in D&D and in World of Warcraft and Guild Wars 2 and a lot of the games, you know, the female characters are exactly the same as the males in terms of their statistics and their strength, and I really like that, and that's something that I represented in Heartwood. So it sort of slipped quite naturally into the MMO type thing where the female characters are the same as the men. I'd like that.
Do you only do board games, or do you also do console games, or like World of Warcraft Online, anything like that?
I do everything. we do D&D and Pathfinder. We were just about to have a PS4 delivered, but we've got PS3, so we do Skyrim and a heap of games on the Red Dead Redemption, all those sort of things. I play World of Warcraft, and I also play Guild Wars 2 at the moment. That's my game of choice at the moment. But yeah, I've got a whole heap of board games. Our latest one is called Founding Fathers, about these American...
Founding Fathers, yeah.
Yeah.
So on World of Warcraft, a very important question for you. Alliance or Horde?
Or Alliance every time.
I'm afraid this podcast is over. Thank you for coming on.
No, I did have I had an Orc Shaman, I think. I did have a few Horde characters.
For the Horde.
Well, you know, I'm not a very experienced gamer. The last 2 summers, I've gone out to Nerdtacular to play, which is a very a lot of the people that go to Nerdtacular in Salt Lake City are big World of Warcraft players. And one of the things that I noticed, coming from someone who hasn't played many video games since I was a younger person, is I was surprised with how many women played. And I think it's because of what you were saying, Freya, that in World of Warcraft, it is very, both genders are equally represented. And I love the fact that it's half women that are at these events and that are playing. It's much nicer than my experiences when I was a kid, which was like, it was just all guys that played, or that was my experience when I was a kid. Anyway, I didn't know many girls that played video games, and that seems very different now. It seems like it's really for everybody now.
Yeah, and when I was younger, I mean, it wasn't something that any friends of mine did when I was younger, which is probably why I never really got into it. But yeah, it does seem different now. I know, look, my son, who's 15, a lot of his friends who are girls play as well now. So it is changing slowly, I think.
Yeah, I have a 13-year-old niece, and you know, she loves all the Marvel movies and everything, which I'm thinking like, wow, that's, I don't remember a 13-year-old girl when I was growing up would have been into that, or you know, as much. It was always so geared towards boys, and it's really nice that it's more equitable now. So it's cool. Now, so what's plans going forward in terms of the book, Frey? So now you have Heartwood out now, and what's the second book that's going to be coming out?
So Sunstone comes out end of next March for the US.
Now, you said you had written Heartwood quite a while ago. Now, was book two written already as well, or is are you still working on it now? Like, what's sort of in the timeline for that?
No, that's finished. That's with my editor. So I'm just waiting to hear what he thinks of it. So that was quite different, because in between writing the two books, I actually wrote quite a lot of romance novels, because romance is one area where you don't really need an agent with the explosion of digital publishing. So I wrote about 20 romance novels. So I'd written quite a lot in between the two books. So writing Sunstone was quite different for me. I wrote it in 3 months. So it was quite a quick write in that sense. It really flowed this time, whereas Heartwood was written over a good, I don't know, probably 9 months with all the planning. So there is less setup of world building, I suppose, if you like, for the second book, because that a lot of that was done in the first book. So this book flowed a lot easier and got quite into the story, I think, a lot more quickly.
Now, you said you wrote all those romance novels. I have two questions about the romance novels. Number one, did you write them under Freya Robertson, or did you have another name for your romance novels?
No, I've got another name. I write under the name Serenity Woods. Okay. So Serenity is from Firefly.
Wow, cool. That's
great. Yeah, we've never heard of that show.
Yeah, no, that's great. No, because I you know, the genres are so different. And, you know, Patrick, I know you can talk about this. You talk about this a lot. You often mention... now I'm going to mess up her name because I know she goes under a couple of different names.
Chris Rush.
So maybe you could talk a little bit about that, Patrick, about writing different genres under different names and pros and cons of doing so.
Different people do it. I'm not a fan, but I get what they're trying to do. So Chris Rush has multiple author pen names that she writes under, and that way her fans know what they're getting with each book. So she has a sci-fi pen name. She has a fantasy. She has all these different pen names that are all variations on Chris Rush. And that way, like I said, the fans, it's a visual clue for them. You know, they know, oh, this is a such and such book. This is going to be sci-fi. And I'm just personally not a fan of it. I get where it's coming from. And I understand also a lot of times from the publishing industry standpoint that the publisher wants there to be no confusion, and they think, and in my opinion, they're completely wrong, that an intelligent genre reader can't tell the difference or will be upset if they pick up such and such's book, who last time wrote a sci-fi novel and this time wrote an epic fantasy, that person's going to become angry. Because, oh, no, such and such writer only writes science fiction. Well, that's bullcrap. Writers write whatever they want to write. Mm-hmm. And so I'm not a fan of the pen name thing.
Mm.
But I get it. Now yeah. Romance is completely different. Romance, a lot of authors, they want that separation. And I don't have a problem with an author who wants a separation. If the author thinks that, you know, they want a different name for the romance versus the sci-fi or the epic fantasy, I'm completely fine with that, because it's the author making the decision. If it's a mandate from the publisher, I kind of got a problem with it.
So what was your experience, Freya? Was that your own choice to write under a different name for your romance verses, or was that something that publishers wanted from you?
No, that was my decision. I just wanted them to completely separate, really. Patrick said, you know, from a writer's point of view, they're two completely separate things. You know, I don't consider that my epic fantasy has much romance in it at all, although a couple of people have said that there are strains of it through there. But for me, it was it's a military book. You know, it's military history. It's completely different. And I wanted that separation. But I do understand what you're saying, because in terms of like the next thing I'm working on, which will probably be more of a sci-fi, it's sort of sci-fi fantasy, I suppose, like a steampunk thing. That's quite different to epic fantasy, but I'll still be writing that under Freya, because as you said, I think the audience is wise enough to look at you can tell by the cover that it's not going to be an epic fantasy, hopefully, so the reader can sort of think, well, that's a slightly different genre, but a lot of readers read in both genres anyway, so
of course.
And the other legitimate in my mind, the other legitimate reason to use a pen name from an author standpoint is oversaturation. So yeah. When you're an author who writes a lot, it can be difficult, you know, to get all that stuff published under one name. And so a lot of times they will use a pen name to get stuff published through other channels. So, for example,
certainly with one publisher, I think, if you've only got the one publisher.
Hmm. Correct. So a good example of that would be Seanan McGuire / Mira Grant.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the books she writes under Mira Grant are pretty different.
Yes.
They're more like kind of thriller-y kind of sorts of things. So I know that is a little bit different. Now, the other question I wanted to ask in terms of your experience writing the romance novels, because you wrote so many of them in between, how did that change your writing, or how did that influence your writing when you went back to writing epic fantasy? What were some of the things you pulled from writing all of that romance?
Well, oddly, a lot of the basic structures of the writing are the same in terms of, because most of my writing is a character based rather than plot based. So I found that I slip quite naturally into the romance because it's all character based pretty much. The biggest thing I learned really was when I got edited. My first few romances were edited, and it was only then that I really made that leap into finding out how I could improve my writing. And I think that's a big tip for anybody who's starting off is if you can hire an editor just to go through one of your manuscripts. It really did help me in terms of things like passive tense and other little tricks of the trade that I hadn't picked up that the books don't always tell you. I'd read every single book out there under the sun, I think, about writing, but there were a couple of these little steps. I didn't understand what passive tense was, and the editing really helped me there. So I was able to go back to Heartwood when I submitted it and go through it and edit it myself and just tighten it up with the knowledge that I'd learned.
Very, very cool. So, all right, so you got your Heartwoods out. The new book is coming out not until 2014, but we look forward to that. So, what's plans going forward for you then? I know I already asked if there's going to be more in this series, but you'd mentioned your steampunk book coming. So tell us what's coming up for you.
Well, I've just I did Nano Remo this November, and I wrote a romance in that because I've just finished a steampunk elf submarine novella, which I self-published, so that's up on my site. So I wanted to do something different, so I swapped and did a shortish romance just for Nano, just to get Nano done. And now I'm going to start on this steampunk sci-fi idea. So I'll go for that over the December and January probably.
So the name of the book that Freya just mentioned is The Hunt for the VN Vega, and that is that sounds great. So that you're self-publishing, correct? People can get that through Amazon and all of those channels?
Yeah, it's just through Amazon at the moment. Yeah, that's just a fun one for Christmas. It was an idea that I couldn't get rid of, so I just thought I'd do that myself.
Very cool. And then you mentioned again the steampunk one that you'd briefly mentioned.
Yeah, it's just set in an alternative Victorian England. So I'm just in the early stages of plotting that out at the moment. So hopefully that'll take a couple of months probably. And then we're looking towards next year and see what next year brings.
Very good. So once again, Freya's website is freyarobertson.com. You could follow her on Twitter at @epicfreya. And we mentioned all of her books. Anything else you want to mention before we wrap it up, Freya?
No, just thank you very much for having me here. I've really enjoyed it.
Where can people get the podcasts?
Well, at the moment, they're on my website. There's a page called Podcasts. We're looking into the possibility of putting them on iTunes. I haven't done that yet, but I appreciate them. We've had a couple of people say that, as you said, people listen to them on their commute. So it's not always viable to sit at the computer and listen for an hour to these things. So that's possibly the next step. But at the moment, they're available on the website.
Very good. Very good. So for me this week, it's just check out what I got going on over my website. A couple new songs and everything up over at johnanilio.com. And you can follow me on Twitter at johnanilio. Patrick, how about you?
Usual stuff, atfmb.com, SF Signal for the podcasts. Happy holidays to everybody.
Yes. Yes. Enjoy it. And we'll see you next time.
Still here? It's over. Go home. Go.